Can I say this? I am actually, should pastors enjoy the message series they're preaching? Because I have enjoyed this. I really have over the last few weeks. As you know, we've been in this series of messages, How Firm a Foundation. We've been looking at basically the basics of the Christian life, the foundations of the Christian life. For some people, it is actually new territory. For others, it's covering territory they've covered before, but it is bringing it to light, bringing it anew, bringing it afresh, and we all need that. We all need refresher courses in our Christian faith, because as we go along, it's easy to forget things, it's easy to overlook things, and even sometimes in Bible reading where I've read a passage numerous times, I'll be reading through it and go, wow, did it really say that? And so I'm excited about it. I love this. It's been a great for me and my personal study. I hope it's been helpful for you. Now, where have we been so far? Well, we began this series by looking at the Bible, asking what is it and why does it matter what it is? Then we began to look at God, specifically God the Father, which we started immediately after the Bible. We asked, hey, who is God the Father? What is he like? Why does it matter? We looked at God the Son, Jesus. We asked the same thing. Who is he? What's he like? Why does it matter? Today, we take a step and look at God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And we begin to ask the question, you know, who is the Holy Spirit? What is he like? And so this is where we are. So who is the Spirit? That's it. But let me start with a quote. It's a little book that John R.W. Stott wrote a number of years ago called Baptism and Fullness. And he says there, I love this, the Christian life is life in the Spirit. We need to understand that. First of all, I want you to hear this. This is what we need to understand from the very outset. The Christian life is life in the Spirit. He goes on to say, for the Christian life begins with a new birth, and the new birth is a birth of the Spirit. He is the Spirit of life, and it is he who imparts life to our dead souls. More than this, he comes himself to dwell within us, and the indwelling of the Spirit is the common possession of all God's children. Nobody gets left out. God doesn't have like, oh, I've got favorite children over here, and I'm going to give them a Spirit, but I'm going to withhold my Spirit from these over here. No, if we are believers in Jesus Christ, we have this promise that we are a temple of the Holy Spirit, and God comes to indwell us. What an incredible thing. And so when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're not talking about something foreign. We're not talking about something that has no relevance in our life. We're talking about coming to understand the God who's come to dwell in us, to empower us, to illuminate us. Listen, there's so much going on here, but if we're ever going to understand this, then you know what? Even if we're going to take that first step, we need to go and ask God to help us do that. So would you join your hearts with me in prayer? Lord God, as we look at a few passages of Scripture this morning, we want it to be more than that. We want to come and ask right now that you would begin to open up our understanding, our minds, our hearts, certainly our ears, so that when we hear your word, that it doesn't just bounce off. Lord, we want your word to penetrate. And we're asking right now, by your power and by your grace, that you would impart your word to us. Plant it like seeds in our heart. God, we want to come hungry and thirsty. We want to hear from you. We want to experience you in your word as well as in our worship. And so, God, we come to open ourselves up. And we ask that our understanding of who you are, and specifically who your Spirit is, we ask, Lord, that that would not be something to be surface level for us, but you'd begin to dig deep. God, let our attitudes and our understanding be shaped by your word and your Spirit, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, the Holy Spirit is not just an add-on. When we had to go get a car to replace Nancy's vehicle, You can buy a car, and then there are a number of things that are add-ons, right? And you see them on this. They all cost. They don't give them to you. Okay. So, like, if you wanted heated and cooled seats, for instance, that's an add-on. That's just not standard. Well, you need to understand the Holy Spirit is not an add-on. He is actually essential for us who are in Christ. He is essential in our salvation experience because we would never come to Jesus on our own. We'd never just kind of figure it out and go, oh, yeah. No, it's the Holy Spirit who reveals that to us. He is essential for us in our daily lives. We're told to keep in step with the Spirit. Think about that. To keep in step with the Spirit. He's essential for our personal sanctification, that growing holiness in us. When we talk about it, obviously we are made holy in Christ. But at the same time, there is a process that the Spirit leads in us to carry us deeper and deeper into the faith and to show us areas of our life that we haven't yielded to Him, that we need to let go of and let God have control. He is essential for the unity in the church. Some of you don't know this, but yesterday we had a meeting of some local pastors and church leaders. We are planning a prayer rally that is non-denominational, that is, crosses all lines, social lines, economic lines, racial lines. We're going to do this as long as we don't get shut down on it, and so you can pray about that. The plan is to do it at the Greene County High School at the football field so that people can space out, not space out in the weird way, but spread out. And it'll be a number of churches are going to come together to lead this together. And in a time where our nation seems to be so fractured in so many ways, it was so awesome to see pastors coming together and saying, hey, listen, let me lay aside my denominational labels. Let me lay aside the color of my skin. Let me lay aside all this stuff and say that as the people of God, we have been called to pray and to seek His face and to turn from our sin. And we're going to do it together. And so if there's going to be unity in a local church, but unity in the body of Christ, right? It has to be a Spirit thing. It's not something we manufacture. It's also essential in the mission of spreading Jesus to the ends of the earth. We are empowered and propelled to share the good news of Jesus Christ, not because we simply think it's a good idea, because the Spirit compels us. The Spirit draws us so that we want to carry. We're willing to sacrifice in order that people who have not yet heard of Jesus will hear about Him. So it is the totality of our Christian experience involves the Holy Spirit. Now, if that's the case, why then is the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, why is He probably the most ignored or misunderstood person of the Trinity? Good question. Glad you asked. I think perhaps, and this is just a shot in the dark, that we have a lot easier time getting the concept of God the Father, right? Because we understand what a father should be, at least. Maybe the father hasn't been that, but we certainly understand this concept of a perfect father. We also get images of God as a shepherd. We can get our minds around that, right? And when it comes to God the Son, when it comes to Jesus, we can get an image there in our minds because Jesus came. God came in flesh. He came to us as a person. So we can get our minds around that. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, sometimes it's like grasping the wind. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about the work of the Spirit, He says the wind blows where it will. And listen, I'm going to get into this a little bit later, but both in the Hebrew and the Greek, the word for Spirit is also the word for wind and for breath. So we'll get into that because that has some implications we'll talk about a little bit later. By the way, just in case you're wondering, this is not the definitive sermon on the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, if you went and you went down, but don't do it right now, but if after the service you decided to go to Lake Oconee and to get out and to walk over to the lake, basically what I'm going to do today, and even through six or seven messages, is probably the greatest depth I can get is if you took a teaspoon to Lake Oconee and just dipped it out. So I'm going to encourage you to go deep on your own, okay? Don't just say, okay, I'm just listening to what Pastor Jimmy says, and I'm not going to take this any further. Let me encourage you to ask the Lord to open your eyes to the work of His Spirit in this world, in your life, and to open your eyes to, when you're reading Scripture, hey, God, show me who your Holy Spirit is. Show me what it is that your Spirit is doing in the world and in me. And begin to investigate it. Begin to look at it for yourself rather than just trusting everything that I would say on a Sunday morning. So as we begin to scratch the surface, here's the first question we want to ask. And that is, who is the Holy Spirit? And I want to give you this morning three answers that all tie together. The first one is this. The Holy Spirit is God. That's where we're going to start. The Holy Spirit is God. Now, we know from Deuteronomy 6:4 that there's only one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So what am I not saying about the Holy Spirit? Here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that God the Father is God, and that God the Son, Jesus, is another God, and that God the Holy Spirit is a third God. No, I'm not saying that. Scripture teaches from first to last that there is but one true God. That's it. There aren't three gods. Now, this is that mysterious thing that we call the Trinity. And in a few weeks, once we have gone through these messages on the Holy Spirit, in a few weeks, we're going to look at the Trinity as we look at Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together. So let me just give you kind of the quick synopsis of what the Trinity is, because when we say that God is Spirit, what we're saying is there's one God who has revealed Himself in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God who's revealed Himself in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now let me expand that, just kind of blow it up. We believe in one living and true God who is the creator of the universe, who is eternal, almighty, unchangeable, who is infinitely powerful, wise, just, holy, and merciful. And we believe that this one God eternally exists in three persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and that these three are one God, not three gods, one God, co-equal and co-eternal, and having precisely the same nature and attributes, and worthy of precisely the same worship, confidence, and obedience. Now, that's the Reader's Digest condensed version. We'll get to that a little more in depth coming up, but just wanted to give you that as we state that Jesus is God. I want you to understand what we're trying to say here. If you go back in the Old Testament, and you can do this, you will most often see the most common designation for the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament is the Spirit of God, which tells us a lot right there. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. So there's no separation. There's no delineation that there are two gods or that God is sending out some lesser being from Him. In the New Testament, we find that the work of the Spirit is consistent. It's always in sync with the work of the Father and the Son. It's never out of sync. It's never that God's going over here and doing this, and the Holy Spirit's going over here and doing this, and Jesus is going over here and doing this. No, it's not that at all. They're constantly in sync. The triune God is unified in purpose and unified in action. Let me give you a few scripture passages so you've got something to hang your hat on. In confronting the Pharisees, Jesus shows us that the Holy Spirit is God when He says this, "But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." In other words, when you see me working by the Spirit of God, then you know it's God at work. It's God at work. Peter had this confrontation with this guy named Ananias. This is in Acts chapter 5. Go back and read that this afternoon. Just read through it. It's kind of interesting. He has this confrontation with this guy named Ananias. And he asks Ananias a question. He says, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit. And so he's accusing him of lying to the Holy Spirit. And then we go down the very next verse. He says, you have not lied to man, but to God. In other words, lying to the Holy Spirit is lying to God. There is no difference. And so as we go through the scriptures, we see reference after reference from Genesis to Revelation of God who's revealed himself in three persons. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul writes, he says, now there are varieties of gifts, he says, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. The same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the same Lord, the Lord Jesus, the same God, God the Father. It is mysterious. It doesn't easily fit into our human categories. But we see this teaching throughout Scripture. We see that all the attributes of the Holy Spirit, all the attributes of God, are attributed also to the Holy Spirit. For instance, he is omnipresent. He is everywhere all at once. He is omniscient. He knows everything. There's nothing that is hidden from him. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He is eternal. All these things that are attributes of God, we see are associated with the Holy Spirit. So this is not like some lesser God going out from heaven. This is the Holy Spirit. This is God himself. And we see this all the way from Genesis chapter 1, where we see that the Spirit is hovering over the deep. All the way to Revelation, where we get this triune worship. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy. Why? Why a threefold proclamation? Because God has revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so from first to last, we see God the Spirit at work alongside God the Father, God the Son. One God revealed himself in three persons. Now, I know it's a hard lot to get a mind around, and we'll continue to look at that as we go along. But when we say the Holy Spirit is God, we also need to say this, because this is something that gets messed up in people's minds. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. So you'll notice at the very outset, I asked a question. I said, who is the Holy Spirit? I never said, what is the Holy Spirit? There's a difference of what is a thing. A who is a person, except in Dr. Seuss, and that's a different kind of who. Okay. And so the Spirit of God, it's not like, don't think of it as like the Force in Star Wars. There's some people who kind of think maybe the Spirit's like the Force. Don't think of it as just a feeling that you get, a tingly feeling. You know, sometimes you're in worship and you're singing a song that really impacts your life, or you just get overwhelmed. Don't think of it as a feeling, because the Holy Spirit is not a feeling that you get. And don't think of it as kind of a mystical energy that just ties all things together. Unlike a force or an energy, although the Holy Spirit does have force and does have energy, the Holy Spirit possesses a mind, possesses emotions, possesses a will. These are things that belong to a person. A.W. Tozer wrote in his little book, How to Be Filled with the Holy Spirit, he wrote this. He said, the Holy Spirit has will and intelligence and feeling and knowledge and sympathy and ability to love and see and think and hear and speak and desire the same as any person has. Now, why is it important that we understand the Holy Spirit is a person? And that is because the next thing I want you to know is this. The Holy Spirit is also personal. Think about it. He's a person who has a connection with you. You see, it's called, the fancy terms, interpersonal relationships. That's what we have, right? If we're family or we're friends or we're fellow church members or we all celebrate the same football team and a victory, there are things that bring us together. These things are relationships that we have, and they're personal relationships. I mean, I know of people, and I also know people. You see the difference there? Okay, you can know about the Holy Spirit, but there's something more to it. And I want you to know this. If you haven't discovered this, he's personal. He is for each of us. There's a connection that we can have with the Holy Spirit. Now, how do I know this? I know this because Scripture teaches it. Let me just give you three ways to see this. First of all, the Holy Spirit can be grieved. He can be grieved. When we are grieved, that means there's something that someone else has done or said that hurts us. I mean, I can grieve my wife. I do it quite often, where I say something or do something that's hurtful to her because she's a person. Well, we read in Scripture, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We would not be warned not to grieve the Holy Spirit were it not possible to grieve the Holy Spirit. We also see that he intercedes for us. In Romans chapter 8, we read, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, and he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. You have the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is interceding for you. He's taking a stand beside you. And that leads us to this last, and this is so cool. I want you to get this. He is also our helper. The Holy Spirit is our helper. Jesus said, and when he told his disciples he was going away, he said, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you. Now, if you're in the King James, that word helper is translated comforter. No problem there. It's not like the comforter on your bed, okay? When we're talking about a comforter, we're talking about one who comforts, a helper, one who helps. So what is he saying here? And this, we want to get this, because Jesus is getting ready to go to his Father. He is telling his disciples, they're distraught over this. I mean, we've devoted our lives to you, Jesus. We followed you, Jesus. And now you're saying you're leaving, and that's just going to disrupt our entire lives. And Jesus said, well, hang on. He said, the Father will send you another helper. So let's hang on to these words, because both of them are important. First of all is the word another. There are two Greek words that are translated as another. One is hetero, and it means another of a different kind. And so we use the word heterogeneous. That means it's a group of different people who are gathered. Or we use the term heterosexual. We're saying that there are two distinct sexes. They're both people, but they're two distinct sexes. Heterosexual. So another, but of a different kind. And then there's the Greek word allos. Allos means another of the same kind. And I thought, what in the world? How can I give you an actual understanding of this? And I thought of this really ridiculous illustration, way to explain it. So forgive me, this is the best I can do. All right, around Halloween time, okay, go buy these big variety bags of candy. And some of them, if you get the good ones, have Milky Way. Milky Way, I love Milky Way. None of them have zero candy bars. I love zero better, but Milky Way is the only one you get in the big bag, okay? So you get this big bag of candy. So if you had this, you've dumped this bag out, you've got this big bowl of candy, and I were to ask you, and I were to have just grabbed a Milky Way and eaten a Milky Way, and then I ask you, hey, could you give me another? Well, if you just randomly reached your hand in there and grabbed a Snickers and handed it to me, I'd go, no, that's not what I'm talking about. Well, this is candy. Yes, it is candy. It's a candy bar. Yes, it's candy bar. But what I was asking for is another Milky Way. I wanted another of the same kind. So get this. The disciples are distraught because Jesus is getting ready to leave. And Jesus said, well, wait a minute. The Father's not going to send a stranger. He's not going to send someone to you that you don't know. He is another of the same kind. And he uses the word helper. Now that word is really cool because it means someone who comes alongside you. Think about that. I'm going to send another of the same kind who'll be a helper, a comforter, who comes alongside you. This is an advocate. This is someone who intercedes for you. This is someone who is on your side. And so as we understand, begin to understand who the Holy Spirit is, let's look at the rest of that verse, because he does go on to say, at the rest of that verse, he said, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, verse 26, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you the remembrance of all that I've said to you. So I'm sending another of the same kind. I'm sending a helper, a comforter, an advocate, someone who intercedes for you, who will lead you into new truth, who will lead you and remind you of what I've taught you. You're not being left alone. Sometimes it feels like we're left alone. Even as believers, you can feel lonely, isolated, frustrated. Anybody been frustrated lately? Good gracious, this is a frustrating time in which to live. Well, that same promise that Jesus gave to those disciples, he gives to us who are in Christ. I've sent to you another helper, one like me, who is on your side, who is advocating for you, standing with you, helping you, comforting you. Now, this is all really good, but as I said earlier, this is just the beginning of a journey of discovery. For some of you, it's something new. For some of you, it's a rediscovery. Yes, I've heard this, but I haven't really paid much attention to it. Hadn't really had an impact on my life. Remember, the Christian life is all about life in the Spirit. And here's one of the great things. If you'll join us on this journey that we're on, God wants to reveal himself to you. He wants you to know him, and he wants you to know him more. God's not hiding from you. God's not off on vacation somewhere. God's not far at all. In fact, he is near, and he wants us to know him. Listen, he wants you, because he's personal, he wants you to know him. And my prayer, my hope, is that God's Spirit would so speak to your heart that you would say, I want to know him too. I want to know this God who loves me, who loved me enough to send his son to die for me. This God who opens a way to life forever with him. I want to know him. And I want to know the Holy Spirit who comes to live in me, abide in me, open my eyes, open my heart, so that I can receive the things of God. You will not figure this stuff out on your own. You remember Jesus, Jesus asked, hey, who do people say I am? And they came up with all these ideas of what the crowd was saying. And then he said, but wait a minute, how about you guys? Who do you say I am? And Peter gave him the right answer. He said, oh, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And what did he say? He said, flesh and blood haven't revealed this to you. You didn't figure this out on your own. You're not getting a gold star for this. This is something the Spirit reveals to you. This is the kind of truth that changes us. And this is why you can sit in a room full of people and you can tell people about Jesus all day, and sometimes it just they never get it. We need to be praying. We need to be praying that God is not only going to raise up harvesters to go out into the field, but that God is going to break down the walls that people have built up, break down the delusions of this world, that the Holy Spirit will come into their lives in such a way that they get under deep conviction, because that's the only way it's going to happen. We need to be on our knees interceding for those who need Jesus as we ask God to open us up to understand who he is more with each passing day. Where are you on this? Some of you need to start the journey. Some of you need to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord today. And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will speak to your hearts, will convict you of your sin and call you to faith. Some of you need to take that next step in your journey. I mean, yes, you've been a Christian for a long, long time, but to you, this spiritual life has been nothing for you. You've just kind of gone about, okay, I'm saved now, let me just get on with the next thing. I just want to encourage you. Would you go to God and say, God, open my mind, open my heart, open my life. Help me to understand, to embrace who you are. I want to be filled to overflowing with your Spirit. I want the Spirit to have free reign over my life. God, I want your Spirit to be so apparent in me that when people see me, they think I'm contagious for a good reason. That I carry the God of the universe in my life. Heavenly Father, we come now in the name of Jesus, and I thank you that you're doing a work in this place right now. Lord, we apologize that we have ignored your work in our lives. We have ignored your Spirit in our lives. And today, Lord, we come to ask that you would break down those barriers, tear down those walls, penetrate that tough exterior, and get to the heart of the matter with us. God, I pray for those who need your Son as Savior, that they will not let this day go by without turning to you in faith and embracing Jesus as Savior and Lord of their lives. I pray, Lord, for us who have been walking with you for a long time. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand more, that give us, that we would have a hunger for you, a thirst for you, that we would want to know the work of your Spirit in us and through us. Father God, we thank you for this journey of discovery that we are on. And we thank you that you are more than willing. You joyfully, graciously give us all good things, including a deeper understanding of you. Lord, we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, before we leave today, let me let you know, if you need to respond in some way to something you've heard today, or maybe it sparked some curiosity in you and you've got some questions, there are a couple of ways that you can do that. We have an email address you can send to us at mynextsteps@gracefellowship.ws, or you can send a text message that simply says the name Jesus to 703. Okay. Oh, there it is right behind me. Look at there. 703-4477. And that's true for any of you who are here, any of you who may be watching at your home. We're grateful that you're here today. And we pray that God's going to do some wonderful things in your life. If you need to speak with me this morning, if you'll just remain in your seat after we're dismissed, God bless you. It's good to see you. I look forward to seeing what God's going to do this week in our lives. Amen.